Morning and turn to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at a couple of verses in just a moment or two. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. What a great joy it has been to be in the house of the Lord this morning already. And you might be wondering, is Vacation Bible School coming tomorrow? Am I missing something? Nobody said about bringing juice boxes in or anything. I haven't been tasked to teach. No, we're not having Vacation Bible School. Amen. Yesterday, Pastor Jonathan hosted the Tidewater Baptist Youth Fellowship and had a number of young people here. And they had great preaching and great games and great decorations. It was a wonderful time in the Lord. And many decisions were made for the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts, and so we're excited about that. We had evangelist Carrie was here preaching from the Edge Bible Camp twice, and just a wonderful, wonderful time being here. And so we just hated to waste these decorations just for one day, amen. So you'll put up with them for tonight's service, and then our decorating committee will take them down and pack them away till we have a Vacation Bible School theme about oceans and sharks. We can have Shark Week here at Sharon Baptist Church. They have it on Discovery Channel every year, and so maybe we'll have Shark Week here. Who knows what the Lord has for us. We're excited about that as well. And so, again, we want to thank you for coming to be a part of this service as well. And please, avail yourself of the list back there. We want to have a wonderful time next week. We're not going to have an evening service. We'll come, we'll have a morning service, and then we'll have a time of fellowship as we fellowship as God's family together for a Thanksgiving meal. You can sign up for that on the back. It'll be just a wonderful time. So if you plan on doing something for the evening, go ahead and do that. We'll get you out of here somewhere about 2:30, 2 o'clock, something along after we're done eating, and you'll be free for the rest of the day. But no matter what you do for the rest of the day, we encourage you to go out and be a bold witness for the cause and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we celebrate a day that we have set aside to honor here in our nation, those who served our country in the armed forces. And they are truly worthy of our recognition for the noble service that they have given this great nation. We're grateful for all the sacrifices and the dedication in defending the freedoms and liberties that you and I enjoy, particularly this matter of even standing here today to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't think there ever has been a generation that has been exempt from this kind of sacrifice. And believe me, my friends, if you have never served or never served in emergency services or with the police or in the emergency room, things along that line, you'll never understand the sacrifices that individuals give and their families give in order that we might enjoy these freedom. As a matter of fact, several people within our own church family have served down through the years. Some are serving now. We honor them today, and we thank them for your service. If you're a veteran today, or you're serving currently now in the United States Armed Forces, would you please stand as we give you recognition this evening, this morning? Let's give these people a hand of applause. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for your service. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I reflect on honoring veterans, I also want to think about those who have served in the Lord's army. And many have given of themselves and dedicated their lives to the faithful service to our Lord. And just as we find in the world today, we find ourselves today in the midst of a tough spiritual battle. The war is no longer just limited to large cities and cultural diverse regions of our country. We have fought battles here, even in Hampton Roads, right here in our own home front. The enemy has advanced, and there is no place where Christians are safe from this fight. If you would think about it, there's truly a desperate need today for more people to take up the banner and the cause of Jesus Christ and serve him in this spiritual warfare that you and I are both engaged in. I think if there ever has been a time in the history of the United States for Christians to stand up, the time is now. And there seems to be today. There's no end to the assaults on our faith and our religious freedom. There are no limits concerning the tactics that our adversary, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil, will use against us. Church, we need to boldly stand for our faith today. And with that, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, as found in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. We begin reading in verse 17 down through verse number 19. And then we'll pray corporately together, asking God to challenge our hearts on this matter of soldiers for the Lord. Soldiers for the Lord. Notice what the Bible says beginning in verse number 17 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're wondering what Paul is writing to Timothy about, he's exalting Christ. He's exalting God. He's giving him praise and worship here in verse 17. And notice the charge that's given in verse 18. This charge I commend unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having been put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to stand and boldly proclaim the word of God this morning. But Father, as we stand here sharing what you have placed upon our hearts today for these people that are gathered together, Father, I pray, Lord, that their hearts will be open and ready to receive exactly what you have for every individual here. Father, we see in these verses that Paul encourages and challenges young Timothy to stay steadfast in the fight. Help us, Father, to stay steadfast in the spiritual battles that we fight day in and day out. And Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, would you save that one that needs to receive Christ as their personal Savior this very morning? We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And again, we understand this, that in these verses, Paul is encouraging and Paul challenges young Timothy, his pastor in the faith, that he has a son that he led to the Lord who's sending out to pastor churches. He's encouraging him to stay steadfast in the fight. And I want us to examine several truths this morning in these verses as we think about this thought of soldiers of the Lord. Notice, first of all, if you're taking notes this morning in verse number 17, notice, first of all, the soldier's commander. Notice again, we find these words, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. We find here that Paul was speaking about the King, our great God. He's the captain of the host. Listen, my friends, he is the commander in chief. And if we're to succeed in any fight that we're in, if we're to win over any battle that God allows us to go through, guess what we're going to have to do? Follow our King's direction. There has never been a campaign and a battle that ever succeeded without strong leadership from a commanding officer. And I want to take a moment to see what makes our commander different from all the other commanders, because there is no one like him. Notice, as the soldier's commander, he is omnipresent. In other words, he is ever present. Our nation has seen some great military leaders down through the years. I think of one of the first ones, General George Washington. I think of Ulysses S. Grant. I think of Robert E. Lee. I think of Jackson. I think of George Patton and General Pershing. I think in World War II of MacArthur and Eisenhower. And as we move to where we kind of are today, maybe General Schwarzkopf with Desert Storm and Desert Shield, and General Petraeus, the architect of enduring freedom. These men were talented. These men were brave. But they faced limitations as being a commander. You see, these men were talented and they were brave, but guess what? They had physical constraints that prevented them from seeing the entire battlefield, the entire front line all at once. And guess what? And their bodies could only withstand so much. Over time, these great generals, as good as they were, became unable to serve our nation any longer, and someone else had to take their place as commander in chief. But understand this, that's not the case with our Christian commander, Jesus Christ. There never has been a changing of the guard. He has never stepped down from his post. He remains seated at the Father's right hand in glory even to this day, making an intercession for you and I. There has never been a time when the Lord did not exist, and there never will come a time when he passes off the scene. Jesus spoke about himself when he said this in John 8 and verse 58. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. He is the eternal, invisible God. He's not limited by time or space as these great American generals from the past have been. The Lord has been with his people throughout every generation. He's not limited to one specific place. Our Lord can be present in the midst of each and every battle that I face and you face and your neighbors face and your neighbor's neighbors face all at the same time. He can do that because he is the eternal, ever-present commander. Thank God for that. I'm glad that we serve an ever-present Lord. And when you call his name, he will be there to hear and meet your needs according to his perfect will for your life. Well, as the soldier's commander, we see his omnipresence. But then notice, he's omnipotent. In other words, he is all-powerful. I think this passage really emphasizes that he is the eternal God, the all-powerful deity. You know, our world has witnessed many rulers. And as many rulers as we have, we just about have had as many kingdoms. But eventually, guess what? All the kings pass away, all the kingdoms collapse, but in contrast, we worship a God who holds all authority over death, hell, and the grave. He was the one that was crucified on the cross of Calvary, where he shed his blood for all mankind. He didn't remain in the grave after they took him off and laid him in that grave, in that borrowed tomb. On that third day, he was resurrected, and he never would ever die again. I'm reminded of the words of our Savior in Revelation 1 and verse number 8. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." And then in Revelation, in verse 18, it continues on and says these words, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." He's never going to die again. Amen. "And have the keys of hell and death." Aren't you glad you serve a Lord that's all-powerful? Too often we encounter circumstances in our life that really just seem out of control. We look at what's happening, what we're going through, and we think, "God, I can't take it anymore. I can't manage this." And those times we put our trust in the one who's all-powerful. I'm confident that since Jesus has victory over death, hell, and the grave, he can overcome any challenge that you and I face here on this earth. Well, as the soldier's commander, we see his omnipresence, we see his omnipotence, and notice thirdly, we see his omniscient. In other words, he is all-knowing. We also understand this, that our Lord as commander is the only wise God. You know, we can't understand the importance of wisdom in warfare. And oftentimes we enter into war and we have leaders who really don't know what they're doing. But understand this, that throughout history, battles have been fought and which resulted because of poor decisions resulted in the loss of lives and the defeat of some of our enemies in certain battles. But understand this, as Christian soldiers, we never need to fear that our commander is going to make some kind of mistake. He's never going to make a tactical mistake. He's never going to make a bad decision on the battlefield. You see, the Lord doesn't see things as you and I see them. And I can't explain it, but the Lord sees everything all at once. He sees the forefront of the battle. He sees behind the battle. He sees in the midst of the battle. He sees behind the enemy lines. He sees back yonder where they're resting and recuperating where it's safe to do so. He's the omniscient Lord. He possesses all wisdom, and he's all-knowing. You see, the truth of the matter is, who better to rely on and trust than an all-knowing God? Oh, we want to rely on ourselves. We want to trust ourselves. But listen, I know me and you know you. Guess what? I'd rather trust the Lord who's all-knowing and knows everything, the whole spectrum from creation all the way to the end. And there'll be times when we don't know which way to go. There'll be times in our life we don't know which steps to take. There'll be times in our life we don't know which path to take, the left path, the right path, or straight down the middle. But guess what? When we don't know, the Lord is never short on wisdom. We'll never face a situation in this life that He doesn't understand or He cannot resolve. Well, not only do we see the soldier's commander, but notice secondly today in verse number 18, we see the soldier's commission. Notice what he says. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. In this verse, we see the soldier's duty to the commander, or the soldier's duty to the Lord. I understand that we're all at different places within the Lord. We're at different levels of maturity. We're at different levels of serving with different gifts. I do understand that. But understand this. Having said that, God has given a specific task, a specific calling, a specific duty for us to accomplish, and each of us is called to serve the Lord as a faithful service. You say, well, how is this shown? Well, notice, first of all, it's shown by our rank, by our rank. So Paul calls Timothy his son. Now, Timothy wasn't Paul's son by blood, but he was through faith, by spiritual, by leading him to the Lord. And so he led Timothy to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and reminds him of his rightful standing before the Lord. No other qualification, my friend, is needed to serve God. Listen, you want to know if you're qualified? If you're saved, you've been blood bought by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, let me help you this morning. You are qualified to serve the Lord. Being a child of God is enough for you to qualify to serve the Lord. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. I'm reminded of John 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, but as many as receive Him, receive Christ, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Becoming a child of God offers untold blessings, but with those blessings also comes untold responsibilities. And I think that no Christian should be satisfied sitting on the sidelines refusing to participate in the Lord's army. The saved are called to serve. And if you're served, you ought to be saved. And if you're a Christian, you're a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to find your place inside the local body of the local New Testament church and stay committed until the Lord calls you home. Well, the soldier's commission is seen in our rank, but notice something else. A soldier's commission is seen in our readiness in the second part of verse number 18. And here we find that Paul reminds Timothy of the prophecies that were made about him. And although Timothy was young in the faith, he still had a lot to learn. He still had a lot of maturing to do in Jesus Christ. But guess what? Even though he wasn't already there, he was prepared for the challenges that God had already laid out ahead of him. His ministry was backed by the hopes and the prayers and the expectation of all those who the Bible said laid hands upon Timothy and in faith. He was supported. He was uplifted by the prayers of God's saint. He was not an eloquent or skilled speaker as Paul. I don't think too many people in the New Testament, even Old Testament, were as skilled and eloquent as the Apostle Paul was. But guess what he had? He had the prayer of the saints of God behind him. And so we understand this. He not only carried the calling of God upon his life and the Spirit of God living inside of him, he also carried the support of the local church to which he belonged. And although he would receive an extensive on-the-job training, Timothy was determined to fight the good fight of faith and to serve the Lord. Here's our problem today. Our problem today is simply this, that too many Christians never reach the point in their spiritual life where they feel like they're ready to serve the Lord. Listen, let me help you again this morning. It's not about having enough education. It's not about being saved for so many years or having so much experience. The Lord's call on your life is enough for you to serve Him. You know, we can learn other things as we go. It's like Timothy learned from on-the-job training. And in the military, we have on-the-job training. At your place of employment, you have on-the-job training. And so we understand this. We can learn as we go, but don't refuse to serve the Lord because you feel that you're unprepared. That's not true. If you're called and you're a child of God, you are ready to serve Him in different capacities. And if God has a work for you to do, if God has called you to do a work, guess what? He will accomplish it in and through you. It's not our job to figure everything out. And our problem is this. When God lays something on our hearts, we say, well, how am I going to do that, Lord? Well, sometimes we don't know how we're going to do it. We just have to step out by faith and trust Him to figure everything out for us. And when He's ready, He'll share with us and let us know. We just ought to trust Him and move forward together with a willing heart. Well, the soldier's commission is seen in our rank. It's seen in our readiness, but notice the last part of verse number 18. We find it's the soldier's commission is our responsibility. We find here that Paul reveals the soldier's accountability is actually twofold. And we find here that Timothy was responsible for fulfilling this obligation that was given him. Notice, first of all, that Timothy was a man of valor, a man of valor. The Bible said that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You see, Timothy wasn't heading on some vacation trip. He wasn't heading down a leisurely trip down a slow-moving water on a raft or on a party barge. He was entering into the heart of spiritual warfare. And he understood his rank, and he was prepared for the battle that he was about ready to step into. It was time to rise up and fight, and Timothy understood that. And my friend, it's no different for you and I. It's time that we rise up and we fight and stand for the glorious gospel and the doctrines contained in the Word of God. And we need those who are willing to accept their duty and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think too many people today just don't want to get involved. They just do not want to get involved. They lack the courage to stand firm. They're afraid someone might get offended if they share the gospel with them. They're afraid they might lose some social connections if on Facebook they take a stand for the Word of God and the cause of Jesus Christ, preaching and teaching against sinful things of this world. They're afraid they might get blacklisted by Facebook. Listen, that's a badge of honor if you do it correctly and with dignity and with great love and you get kicked off Facebook. Say glory to God. That's the best thing that ever could happen to you, to get that out of your life anyhow. I don't know how I got on that, but just take it for what it's worth. Here's the truth. You and I, me and you, you and I, me and you, we're in the middle of a spiritual battle on the home front. And we need people who are brave enough to take a stand for the cause and glory of Jesus Christ. You understand this, that our enemy has invaded us. They have snuck in and has risen up among us. And he wants to destroy us. He wants to dominate our homes. He wants to dominate our lives, our communities, our government. And yes, he wants to dominate our churches, even our independent fundamental Baptist churches. He has desire to do that. And if Christians will not stand up against the enemy, who will stand up? Well, Timothy, first of all, was a man of valor. But then thank God, he was a man of vision, a man of vision. You see, this wasn't just any war. It was a just war. You might be wondering, how could that be? How could this be a just war? What good comes about because of these spiritual warfare? Well, when innocent people are oppressed and they're slaughtered, war can bring about peace to them. Where would we be today? Think about this. If our allies during World War II had not gone to war with Nazi Germany, things would be a lot different in the European theater of things, along with the Pacific, Indo-Pacific region. Things would have been different if we wouldn't have stepped in and stood up for what was right. understand this. There are some things that are worth fighting for. You understand our Christian liberties are worth fighting for? The right to speak as we want. The right to share the gospel. The right to protest within the bounds of the Word of God and the governmental laws they have put in place. Our homes and our children's future are worth defending. Creating a good environment to raise a family, my friends, it's worth fighting for. And the point is this, that we need to know when we are to fight, but also how to fight. And if it's a worthy cause, my friend, draw your sword and engage in a good spiritual battle. But don't cast your pearls before the swine either. Don't get caught up in pointless arguments and minor disputes on Facebook and different places like that. Fight the good fight for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, not only do we see the soldier's commander, do we see the soldier's commission, but notice in verse number 19, notice the soldier's compulsion. The Bible says, holding faith and a good conscience, and some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. So in this final verse we're looking at this morning, we see what motivates the soldier to fight. And notice what gives him courage. Notice what gives him desire to keep on going and fighting the spiritual battle. Notice, first of all, a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ must possess a steadfast faith. A steadfast faith. We find that Paul encouraged Timothy here to hold on to his faith. He urged him to remember everything that he had been given. He wanted him to remember also all that Jesus Christ had done for him. He wanted Timothy to see life challenges through the eyes of faith. See, there is more to life than what we see with our own physical eyes. If all we see of life through our physical eyes, we're surely missing it. There is a cause greater than ourselves, which is serving the Lord, which is sharing the gospel, which is preaching the gospel to those who are perishing and those that are lost. And when we grow weary in battle, my friend, hold on to your faith. I'm reminded of Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sounds like some of us sometimes, doesn't it? We're weary in well-doing. Notice what the Bible says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A soldier must possess a steadfast heart. But then notice, secondly, a soldier must possess a sensitive heart. So Timothy was also to maintain, Paul told him, a clear conscience. He was to hold tight to what he knew was right. He was to hold tight to what he knew was true. He was to live his life according to the convictions of the scriptures that he has been taught. And his struggles in life were to be rooted in the will and the word of God. Listen, my friends, we could stop right there and preach for days that our life as well ought to be rooted in the word and will of God for our own lives as well. You see, a good soldier has a heart that's sensitive to the will of God and to the word of God. Are you sensitive to his will in your life? Are you sensitive to the word of God? You'll never succeed in this spiritual battle of life if you're not sensitive to the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to point out that oftentimes we adopt a secular or a worldly perspective. Our conscience can lead you astray. If you're a friend to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and if you have a secular perspective, our conscience will and can lead you astray. The worldly mindset will encourage you to follow whatever feels right. God's word never tells us to follow whatever feels right. He says, follow after me. Follow the word. However, it's essential to be cautious and not rely solely on our fleshly feelings. Our conscience is more about exposing the things we need to resist rather than simply distinguishing right from wrong and to safeguard our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about this, we need to be steadfast. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Then notice thirdly, in the second part of verse number 19, we have to have a submissive spirit. The Bible says, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul warns about the dangers of falling away from faith and becoming shipwreck. And even in verse number 20, he lists two men who have fallen shipwreck. And he warns about the danger from being falling away. And Paul constantly guarded himself from becoming shipwrecked. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. And rest your eyeballs there in 1 Corinthians 9, verse number 27 for just a moment. Paul not only warning Timothy, but he constantly guarded himself with this thought about falling away from the faith and becoming shipwrecked. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Paul writes this, and he's not bragging when he's saying that, he's just stating this fact. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what? Many began their journey strong. And you know people. Lord's bringing that person's memory to your memory right now. They started out strong, but become tired of the struggle. And eventually now they have abandoned their faith. We all know people who have given up because they couldn't continue the good fight. They just got tired. And to endure the hardship of the spiritual battle that we, as a soldier of Jesus Christ, ought to endure, guess what we're going to have to do? You're going to have to stay close to the Lord. If you get away from the Lord, you get away from His Word, you get away from His will, guess what? You're going to be shipwrecked. And eventually, as Paul says, that I don't want to be a castaway as these two men in verse number 20 were. We all know people who could have been great for the Lord and show great promise, but they got away from serving the Lord. We must submit to His guidance. We have to pray for His presence in our life and ask Him for the strength of the Holy Spirit of God to empower us to fight battles day in and day out. You see, in God's army, there's no room for lone rangers. There's no room for the solo sailor, the solo soldier, the solo airman, the solo marine, the solo whatever they call the Navy person on the ship. There's no room for that. Listen, we're in God's army. We're an army together. We can't do it by ourselves. You can't succeed without Him. So as we close this morning, if you're a Christian, if you've been born again, you have all you need to jump into the fight. Oh, you might not have all the details of what God wants you to do. You might not have all the skills that God has for you yet, but understand this, where He calls, He equips. And so, my friend, you jump in and begin to fight. We live in a day when we desperately need everyone that we can to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just one person will weaken a local New Testament church. Let me ask you this today. Are you willing to take a stand? Are you willing to make a difference as a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ? And perhaps maybe you're here today and you never trusted in Christ as your Savior. You might not realize it this morning, but the lost are already aligned with the defeated enemy. That defeated enemy is Satan himself, and will someday face the same wrath and judgment that was reserved for Satan and his fallen angels. So why not come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and begin fighting the good fight of faith? Christians, are you willing to commit to Him today? Are you willing to be a faithful soldier for the Lord? If you are, perhaps in a few moments you might come and tell Him that you're willing and able to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,